Eternal God, the refuge and help of all your children, we praise you for all you have given us, for all that you have done for us, for all that you are to us. In our weakness, you are our strength. In our darkness, you are light. In our sorrow, you are comfort and peace. We cannot number your blessings. We cannot declare your love. For all your blessings, we bless you. May we live as in your presence and love the things you love and serve you in our daily lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you'll please open your blue hymnals to number 12, Come, Let Us All Unite to Sing. Good morning. Are there any guests who would like to be introduced today? No? Well, welcome here, everybody, then. I'd like to take some time to highlight a few of the announcements, but be sure to read your whole bulletin. There's a lot of them in here this week. First, I'd like to highlight that our annual homecoming lunch is next Sunday, September 7th, so join us for food and fellowship downstairs immediately after the service. I'd also like to highlight that Sunday school registration is going to take place September 28th, and the first class will be on October 5th, and we're still looking for a few more volunteers to help with the Sunday school program. And also, on September 28th, we will be beginning the adult Sunday school program, using the Being a Faithful Church material from conference. Also, from the community kitchen begins on September 9th, and they'll be getting their regular cooking schedule then, and youth begins on the 10th. Now, if we'll move into a time of sharing, if anyone has anything they would like to share with the congregation, Ingo has a mic and can bring it to you.
Hello? Hi. So I'm Elizabeth Franz Workington, and I just wanted to give you an update about our son, Jacob, who we were in Toronto this past week, and he had another surgery. So he's doing really well. We thank you so much for all your prayers and support. As usual, when we go into surgeries, they make a list of all the big possible things they might do, and this time, and usually they have to do everything, but this time around they did the minimum that they had to do, so we're very happy about that. He is in some discomfort right now. For a few days after the surgery, he was like wanting to do all sorts of stuff, and we thought, wow, he's not feeling any pain, and then all of a sudden it started, so I think maybe what they gave him during surgery finally wore off, so he's in a little discomfort, and we had a little bit of a worry at one point about the catheter, what was happening to it, and we thought we might have to go back to the hospital, but we didn't. So we really are thankful for all the prayers and support we've received, and he'll be going to his doctor here on Tuesday to get the stent removed, and hopefully everything will be good. It looks like we might have to have one more surgery, but it might not be for a few years, so that will be good. So he'll have a nice long break. So thank you very much.
And there's a few more things I'd like to highlight from the bulletin. Prayer request from Leanna. Her husband Don is in St. Boniface Hospital right now with a rather severe blood infection. So he's still in hospital for that, and the doctors are working on healing him. So keep him in your prayers. And condolences go out to Peter Jansen, Henry and Marlene Jansen, and Mariana Souza, along with the families and friends, on the passing of their wife and mother slash mother-in-law, Margareta Jansen, age 89, on August 26th. Funeral services will be held at North Kildona Mennonite on Wednesday, September 3rd. And Herbert Knells and family would like to thank everyone for the cards, well wishes, and prayers received following the loss of his wife, Annie. It was greatly appreciated. Now, if you'll all join me in prayer. God, our Maker, in the beginning, you called men and women to be stewards of the earth you created, and you gave them meaningful work to do, naming animals, tending your garden, using their imaginations, observing the world, fulfilling their vocation as those who bore your image and likeness. Still today, you call us to do your work and bless us in our activities. We praise you when we find meaning for life, as well as means for our daily bread in our jobs and careers. We thank you for the variety of our vocations that add richness to society and fill needs in our communities, our nation, and our world. Give your grace to all who labor across the land and the globe, so they may glorify you in what they do. We pray particularly that you look with favor on those who care for those at the beginning and end of life, to all who help others cope in crises, people who inspire our imaginations and touch our hearts through their work, to those who do the dirty and dangerous jobs that are necessary but no one else wants, and all who contribute to the common good in any way by working. And even as we praise you for that you can make our livelihoods through daily activities, we remember and ask your grace for all who work hard but cannot make ends meet or provide security for themselves or their families, those who live hand to mouth with no savings, young adults who are strapped and burdened by debt, and older adults living on fixed incomes, men and women who are unemployed and cannot find work, workers who have been victims of downsizing, outsourcing, and cutbacks, and people whose jobs are a drudgery and dream of finding something better but cannot find anything. And even as we pray for workers on this Labor Day weekend, we ask your help for all who are sick and for grieving, all who are troubled and lonely, hurting and helpless. We pray for those in hospital. We pray for Henry Klein, Peter Jansen. We pray for Donald Flapecki. And we pray for all of our members who are in personal care homes. God, you have taken care of your people through the ages. Continue your covenant faithfulness to us gathered here and grant our prayers, even as you help us by your Spirit to turn into compassionate action, and we give you glory. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Now, if you'll turn in your hymn books to number 544, When We Walk with the Lord.
I'm not coordinated enough to hold a hymn book, but we'll see if we can do children's story. I'd like to invite the children to the front, please. Well, how are you all doing?
Good.
Good. Astrid, how was your trip? Yeah? Great. So, y'all ready for school?
Kind of.
What needs to happen yet before you're ready?
You
need to sleep in really late.
Yeah.
Hard. Okay. If that's the problem of your life, I think you're going to be okay. So when you go to school, what do they teach you about how you treat each other?
Hands off.
Share.
Don't say bad words.
No bad words. You were going to say something, Astrid? Okay. They tell you about respect.
Oh, yeah.
And honesty?
Yeah.
And kindness?
Yeah.
Okay. So they talk to you a whole lot, and probably every year at the first day they go through this, right?
Yeah.
So, how's that working?
Good.
Pretty good?
Yeah, my class has lots of troubles.
Your class has troubles.
Yeah.
All right. So, what happens if you're treating everybody with respect and kindness and dignity, and all of a sudden you get a new kid in class, and he talks a little funny and dresses funny and brings really, really weird lunches?
Well,
Be nice so he feels like he fits in. But what if everybody else isn't treating him like that? You have to treat him like that. Is that easy?
No. Then the other people will think that you're weird too.
Then they think you're weird too. Okay. So that's a little bit hard to do the thing that your teacher tells you and you kind of know is a good thing to do, right? So, yeah, but in the end, it's probably a good idea to treat people that way, right? Yeah, and your teacher. Thought I'd stick that in. So that's what we're going to kind of talk about today. And Jesus teaches us how to live and how to treat people. And sometimes it's hard and sometimes we don't feel like it. And sometimes we're not sure. And it's tough too. And that's why part of what we do here in church, we talk about what that looks like. But it's really the best way to go. And we're going to talk about living the way Jesus teaches us to. So, just before we go back, I thought, since it's a bit of a cloudy day outside and a little bit rainy, you needed a rainbow. So, how about you each can have two. Okay.
Two,
yes. All right. Now, before you head back, let's pray together, okay? Thank you, God, for the way that you treat us. The way that you treat us with respect and kindness. The way that you always hope for us and that you forgive us when we do things that are wrong. Thank you for the way that you think the best of us and help us to be all that we can be. Help us to live that way too. Amen. Okay, you can head back now.
And Rudy will now play for us as we take the offering. Thank you. Today's scripture reading comes from Daniel 3. King Nebuchadnezzar ordered a gold statue to be built 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. An official stood up and announced, "People of every nation and race, now listen to the king's command. When you hear the music, you must bow down and worship the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Anyone who refuses will at once be thrown into a flaming furnace." As soon as people heard the music, they bowed down and worshiped the gold statue that the king had set up. Some Babylonians used this as a chance to accuse the Jews to King Nebuchadnezzar. "Sir, you appointed 3 men to high positions in the Babylon province, but they have disobeyed you. Those Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refuse to worship your gods and the statue you have set up." The 3 replied, "Your Majesty, we don't need to defend ourselves. The God we worship can save us from you and your flaming furnace. But even if he doesn't, we still won't worship your gods and the gold statue you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar's face twisted with anger at the 3 men, and he ordered the furnace to be heated up 7 times hotter than usual. The soldiers tied up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and threw them into the flaming furnace with all their clothes still on, including their turbans. The fire was so hot, the flames leaped out and killed the soldiers. Suddenly, the king jumped up and shouted, "Weren't only 3 men tied up and thrown into the fire?" "Yes, your majesty," the people answered. "But I see 4 men walking around in the fire," the king replied. "None of them is tied up or harmed, and the 4th one looks like a god." Nebuchadnezzar went closer to the flaming furnace and said to the 3 young men, "You servants of the Most High God, come out at once." They came out, and the king's officials, governors, and advisors all crowded around them. The men were not burned, their hair wasn't scorched, and their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise their God for sending an angel to rescue his servants. They trusted their God and refused to obey my commands. Yes, they chose to die rather than to worship or to serve any god except their own." And now we will have some further music from Rudolph.
Thanks, Rudolph. A couple of comments before we take a look at the passage for today. One of them is, I'd like you to look in your bulletin underneath the order of worship right down at the bottom in that gray box. It says that we're going to start a sermon series next week on the Gospel of Mark. And it says there, in preparation, read chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 3, verse 6. Please read that. We are going to look, take 6 Sundays to work through the book of Mark. We're not going to read every passage or speak on it, but we will be each Sunday giving you a chunk to read for the following Sunday so that you can come prepared, so that we can dig into God's Word. Scripture is so important. We define ourselves as Anabaptists, as people of the Word, so let's spend some time getting to know it. The other comment I was going to make is, this is the last Sunday we're looking at characters of the Bible. Now, I asked if you would share what characters you would like us to look at, and there were many that were shared that we didn't get to. Peter and Paul and Judas actually was suggested. Hagar, which is a fascinating discussion, we'll have to have that another day. So we ran out of summer before we ran out of people. So for those of you who suggested people we weren't able to address, we apologize. But I don't know about you, but it's been a lot of fun digging around, looking at characters and what they represent. Some of them were quite obscure, and still there were things for us to learn from them. So that was great. We as a family lived in Indiana for a number of years. I was going to seminary, and so there we were. And being a student, we didn't have a lot of money, and so we would do cheap things to entertain ourselves. We would drive around sometimes and look at watch the horse and buggy old order Mennonites. Very fascinating. There was a community near where we lived. It was called Shipshawana. It was this huge flea market, it seemed to me like it was acres, although even a one-yard flea market is big enough for me, or too big. They had this great big parking lot beside it, and they had rails to tie up your horses there. Like, you could tie up hundreds of horses and buggies, and you'd walk in there and you'd look around, it's just sort of surreal, right? You wondered, did I hit a time warp here somewhere? Wonderful folk. As we got to know a little bit more about what was going on in the community, began to realize it was more than just a group of people. There were lots of them out there, and they were different. Some of them were all about horse and buggies. I mean, that's their transportation, that's how they did their farming. Very sort of purist. Some of them were allowed to have an engine, but it could only be a stationary engine. They'd stick it on a cart, drag it out to the field, hook it up to the threshing machine, and off they'd go. Then at the end of the day, hook the horses back on, drag it back to the barn. Some were allowed tractors, but they had to have steel wheels. Some could have tractors with rubber tires, but not cars. Some could have cars, but they had to be black and no chrome. Some had no electricity. Some had electricity in the barn, have to run the milking machine, don't you know. Some could have it in the house. And it goes on and on and on about how they related to each other and whether they had buttons or hooks and eyes. And all of those people stood by that firmly. We will not compromise. We will not sell. If you were reading the bulletin wondering what selling our should be out. That's my mistake. I can't proofread. They would not sell out. This is what it means to be faithfully follow Jesus, they said. And I sat there and I thought about that. Pretty much a similar background to many of us. Same Bible. But here they were. For one person, compromising was anything but a horse. The next person was ripping around on the new John Deere, and they weren't compromising. How do you put that together? Sort of reminded me of my own upbringing, and I've told you the stories often enough, you're going to, please don't ever talk to my family if they come to visit. So I've told you before that I grew up with very firm lines about how we live. Where I grew up, compromise was marrying a non-Mennonite. Compromise was going to a different church. What do you mean you're going to a different church? If they were right, we'd all go over there. We're right. They're watered down. What are you doing? Compromise was playing cards, going to movies, playing pool. swearing, well, except in Low German. For some reason or other, you could always swear in Low German. All of these things were compromise. You don't do that. And it makes you wonder, how do we put this together? How do we make this work? The characters we want to talk about today, as you've heard, are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The story was suggested by Elvin Taves. And Elvin, as you know, is too shy to come to the front. I tried to talk him into coming up here. I was going to interview him. And he said, no, thank you. And so we chatted last week. And what really caught Elvin about the story is exactly that these guys would not compromise. This is what they believed, and they were willing to die for that. Reminds us of stories from Martyr's Mirror. You know Martyr's Mirror? It's that thing that's about 5 or 6 centimeters thick, and it has hundreds of stories of people who are willing to die for their faith. We have read, many of us have read stories in there about the Anabaptists. They were willing to die for what they believed about baptism. You do not have child baptism, you have adult baptism. And they'd haul them up and they'd say, will you recant and baptize your children? They'd say, no! And then they would be killed. And we sit here, their spiritual and for many of us, their biological ancestors. And when people come to our church and they've been baptized as children, we say, have you had a meaningful confirmation experience? Yes. Do you want to follow the way of Jesus? Yes. And we welcome them in. Things they died for, we don't even hold on to. Our ancestors. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this? It seems to me that you can't sell out what you haven't bought into. So the question in this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3 is, what did they buy into? Well, what they bought into was following the law of God. They were raised in Israel. They were Jews, children of Israel. And they were taught by their parents, God looks after us. We are his people. Look at the history. He called Abraham. He brought us out of slavery. He led us through the wilderness and fed us manna and water from the rock. He gave us a promised land, and he will look after us if we are faithful. And they knew why they were in Babylon. They hadn't been faithful. They had compromised. They had sold out. And so these three guys are standing in front of Nebuchadnezzar, and he says to them, bow down. And they say, you know why we are here in Babylon at all? Because we compromised. We're supposed to follow the law of God. 10 commandments. What's the first one? No other gods, right? So they said, you're asking us to compromise again? No. We're done. We have bought in to what it means to follow the law of God, and we're going to do that. And if you need to kill us in the process, fine. God can save us. And if he doesn't, we're good with that too. That's a tough one to say, isn't it? They held to what they believed. They had bought in, and so now they knew what compromise was. Compromise was letting go of something they had already claimed, and they said no. So how do we make application for our lives? We are going to say, let's not compromise. Does that mean we should drive horse and buggies? I saw a few cars out there. For some people, that's what it means. But for us, not so much. Are we allowed to go to movies and play cards? Well, probably. Just an aside, I remember as an adult, I was playing card game with my mother. And we were sitting there, and partway through the game, she mused, I wonder when this stopped being sin. It wasn't that she was compromising. It was the cards had changed, not her, right? Now it was okay. So, back to what does it mean to compromise? How about baptism? Are we willing to die for our form of baptism? We say, well, baptism's from the heart. It's what we commit ourselves to follow God, right? It's not the form. So, not so much. So, what's compromise? Looks like everything's up in the air. We are called to look at, what we need to do is we need to look at what we have bought into. And we are called to be faithful to that. So what is it that we've bought into? What is it that we have sat down and said, no, this is really important to us? Some of that's easy. We have bought in, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to following the law of God. What does Jesus say? He sums it up and says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then we read the New Testament and we see Jesus is the one who, through his teachings and his life, helps us understand what that means. So what does it mean to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and love our neighbor as ourself? Just a quick sort of overview here, not an in-depth, we'll do that, well, for the rest of our life, I guess. But basically, it means that we take seriously the words of Jesus. We love each other. That means that we care for the disadvantaged. That means we take Scripture seriously and we read it so that we can understand and follow it. It means that we treat everybody, as we talked in the children's story, with respect and dignity, because that's what Jesus did. That means, for many of us as Anabaptists, we say, just a minute, violence really can't be a part of that, because we can't figure out how to put that together with who Jesus was. It means we care for the disadvantaged, and we get involved with the MCC store, and we get involved with Community Kitchen, and there are lots of ways we plug in. So that's a given. For us to not compromise means that we follow the way of Jesus in fulfilling the law of God. Some of the things about compromise, we have to struggle to figure out what the answer is. So as Chris mentioned, on the 28th, we're going to begin Sunday school here, 9:45. Write that down. 9:45, we're going to start Sunday school. We're looking at being a faithful church, the material that comes out from Mennonite Church Canada. And we're asking the question, what does Scripture tell us about faithfully living regarding sexuality? Well, there's enough things in the air. We need to sit down with our Bibles, with each other, and work that out. We've done that same thing with, we've talked about divorce. We've talked about, and now we chuckle about it, women in ministry. We've come a long way, Janet. Hopefully. We have talked about how we view Scripture, how we look at other people's, lots of things we've said, what does it mean, what is our commitment here? Not sure. Okay, we pray about it, we sit together, we study, we look in the Word, we ask for wisdom. And those things we need to study. Some things we just don't know where to go with. Some things we have to leave people make up their own mind what to do with that. I was older when I finally talked to my dad about why he was so strict about these things. What's wrong with playing cards, or what's wrong with playing pool, or going to the movie theater? And I discovered that for my dad, he became a Christian, as I mentioned in earlier discussions, about the time I was born. He was about 35. And for him, when he sat down, he said, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And if I'm going to do that, I need to disconnect from my former life because it didn't lead me there. And so for him, he disconnected with things that what he thought would lead him away from that and from people. And this, he said, was the hardest thing. He had to walk away from a circle of friends. He says, if I hang out with them, I can't do this. I need to choose. And so as I listened to that story, I had a lot of respect for my dad. You're willing to change your life to follow Jesus. And that's what we said we didn't want to compromise on, right? And so for him, it was wrong to do these things. For me, I didn't have that history, and it was okay. And so we sit down with people, and the question we ask is, have you really thought about this? Have you lined this up with what it means to follow the way of Jesus? And if you have, we'd love to have a dialogue with you, but we respect you. We talk with people from other Christian traditions, and we say, how can you do that? We don't understand how you, as Christians, can make that choice. And they said, well, this is what faithfulness looks like for us, and we need to respect that. But for us, it looks like this. So we need to make sure that when it comes to what is it that we compromise about, we are clear about what it means for us to follow Jesus. And one of the things I should have mentioned is we start by saying we have a decision to make to follow Jesus. And then God comes and fills us with His Holy Spirit to empower us. That's how we begin that dialogue. All right, there we are, saying we have an understanding of what we believe. We know that there are some things we struggle with. We know there are some things that we are different about, but we don't have to judge people who are different than us. We say, are you faithful? They say, yes, absolutely. We say, blessings on you. So then, now we can begin the discussion about about selling out, because now we know what we've bought into. There are lots of reasons why we compromise from time to time. Sometimes we compromise because we're afraid. We're afraid of the people around us, like we heard about in school. If you accept these kids, others are going to think you're weird. And so that bothers us. We're afraid of what we're going to miss. It's kind of like in Matthew 25, the steward who his boss gave him money to invest, and he says, I don't know, what if I don't do it right? And he stuck it in the ground. That wasn't faithfulness. He compromised. He sold out. Sometimes we compromise, sometimes we sell out because we're lazy. It takes too much work. Good Samaritan. These two religious guys come along and see the guy in the ditch. They know what they need to do. They need to take care of him. That's part of what they bought into. The way of God is caring for other people when they're in need. And they looked at him and they said, anybody see me? Nope. Over to the other side of the road. I didn't see anything, and off they went. They were just lazy, and some of us get lazy too. We see things going on around us that we should address. And, yeah. Sometimes we compromise because we're greedy. We want something that doesn't fall into the realm of what we should be having. David wanted to have an affair with Bathsheba. Saw her up in the rooftop. He needed to buy some sunglasses, that boy. So, he has an affair. He wants something he can't have, and so he just does it. And we do that sometimes too. We know something's not right, but we just feel like it. Sometimes we compromise because of bitterness. Bitterness is like quack grass. It gets into our life, and it just kind of spreads, and it pops up here and there. And when you try and get rid of one piece, it's hooked to everything else. And once we've let it spread through our lives, it's hard to get rid of that. And we talk ourselves into saying it's okay. That bitterness makes it feel okay to be a racist or to be a bigot or to hate people in our own church. Oh, not them again. They're standing up at a meeting. Why don't they stay home or be... You know what I'm saying, right? And we talk ourselves into thinking it's okay because bitterness gets in there, and that's not okay. Sometimes we compromise because of tradition. We began something within our denomination or within our church or whatever because it was an act of faithfulness. And with time, that act of faithfulness takes over and it becomes the end in itself. And that's compromise. When tradition becomes the reason we do things, rather than the reason tradition was installed to begin with, we lose perspective. And sometimes we compromise because life gets overwhelming. And it's just too much. And there's just been one too many thing on the plate. And we just say, I can't. And we just let it go. Because we don't have the energy anymore. Well, those are all reasons that we kind of wander off the path. But you know, when we look at our hearts, we're not here because we want to see what we can get away with. We're here because we really do want a faithful life, follow Jesus. And we talk about compromise not as a slap on the hand, but as an encouragement. Make sure, open your eyes, you're a little off path, just come on back in. We're waiting for you and you know you want to be here too. And so the goal of all of us, like the goal of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, the goal of God's people always is to follow God in the way that He has called us, to embrace life that God has given us. And that's the reason we're here. We're here to worship and to focus on ourselves so we leave here saying, Right. I was getting a little off track, but we sang that song today. We read that scripture, and it brought back to mind what it means to be the people of God. And that's why we get together for prayer meetings and Bible studies. And that's why we go to Sunday school. And that's why we pray and read our Bible during the day. It's all to remind us who we are. It's to remind us what we've bought into so that we don't sell out. May God give all of us the joy of following Him, the clarity of mind to remember who we are and whose we are as we continue to embrace life. Amen.
On the inside of your bulletin, there is a song, Will You Come and Follow Me? We're just going to sing the verses that are in there, the three verses that are in the music. And I'm going to ask Trudy to play it through once for us so that you can get the melody in your head. It's not a very difficult melody, but and the words are amazing. So even if you'd rather just sit and listen, that's okay too.
Please stand for the benediction and remain standing for the closing hymn. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.